Today is Saturday, the 13th of May, 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 82nd session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And representing Nisarwane Forest Monastery, we have Venerable Bhante Hohomagama Dhamma Kusala Thero participating in today's session to provide us with valued guidance and advice. So I would like to welcome Bhante on behalf of all of us for this session today, and I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom. Unfortunately, due to technical issue, I am unable to live stream this on the Facebook webpage of the Satipatthasala Foundation, but we'll look into it and try to sort it out midway through the session. So the program agenda will line up as first with in-session practice guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the question and answer session, where the reports presented for today's session will be made available for Bhante to hear and advise upon. And after that, we will wrap up the program, and before wrapping up, we will provide a chance for anyone with verbal questions to raise their questions in front of Bhante. So with that, I would like to invite Bhante to commence the in-session mindfulness practice. Thank you. Over to you, Bhante. Much merits.
Hello, everyone. So today we will start with a mindful walking session. I think last week we did a sitting session. So maybe this time we can try and practice mindful walking for some time. For this, you need some space where you can walk back and forth. Probably like 10-15 steps would do. Make sure that there's some space. Clear that path. Make sure that there are no obstacles. Then you can start walking. You walk in a comfortable manner. And try to be aware. That's the change that we are doing. Usually we are walking. We know how to walk, but we are not aware, we are not paying attention that we are walking. So while doing mindful walking, you try to walk in a comfortable manner and you try to pay attention to the walking process. Notice how you feel when you pay attention. Initially, you might not feel anything. Initially, you might feel confused, but with time, you may start to notice that your body is walking. There are certain sensations that you feel in the walking body. Probably you feel the ground against your feet, the texture, the temperature of the ground. You may feel these details. So you try to be mindful about these details, about these sensations, and try to continue your walking. Time to time, various other things might grab your attention. For example, surrounding sounds, surrounding sights, various thoughts, they may grab your attention. But after a while, you notice that your attention is somewhere else. You become aware that you got carried away. With that awareness, you can again simply bring your attention to the present moment. So this is what we are doing as mindful walking. Again and again, various things might grab your attention. Again and again, you become aware and you bring your attention to the walking body. Notice how the body feels. Notice how the weight is shifted between two legs. Notice which parts are touching the floor. Probably the heel is touching first. Probably the entire feet is touching. So you can notice again and again while walking. We try to observe the walking process. We try to notice the walking process as much as possible. So this is what we are going to do as a group. Let's try to walk in a comfortable manner and try to practice mindful walking. Okay, everyone, now you may return back to your seats. So that's only a few minutes of mindful walking, just to give you an idea, so you can practice on your own. With that, Namantha, you can take over.
And much merits. The next item on our agenda would be the talk on mindfulness from Bhante on the on trust issues, and this is the second week on this topic. So on behalf of all of us participating through Zoom and through the live stream over the Facebook page of Satpasila Foundation, it is with great pleasure that I would invite Bhante with much respect to commence the talk for today's session on the topic of trust issues. Go to Bhante again, much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everybody. So we will take some time to discuss regarding today's topic and how we can relate it to the practice that we are doing. Now, to start today's talk, I would like to present this quote, right? So this person, somebody is asking this from us. He's asking, what's wrong with now? Unless you think about it. He suggests that nothing is wrong with now unless you start thinking about it. When you start thinking about it, things become difficult. When you start thinking about it, you get questions, doubts. When you start thinking about it, it's natural that you feel worried. You feel various fears. So there is nothing wrong with the now unless you think about it. So that's what happens usually. When we think about it, we get problems. When we think about it, we get doubts. When we think about it, we get worries. Otherwise, the present moment is perfect. There is nothing wrong with it unless we start thinking, unless we start planning, unless we start wondering about various things. So that's how we usually face these situations. That's how we ruin the present moment. This present moment is perfect, but we start thinking. We start remembering. And those things lead us to worrying, anxiety, tension, whatever the name you call it. So that's how the doubts are created. That's how various thoughts, emotions are created. And based on those doubts, based on those thoughts, emotions, you tend to worry. You create suffering for yourself. And the trust issues, various doubts, difficulties about your life, they arise naturally because you are not happy with the present moment. You start thinking, you start planning, you start to make it better. Nobody is happy with the present moment. Everybody wants to make it better. Everybody wants to be happy in future. Some distant place, some distant time, you'll be happy when you acquire these things. But unfortunately, that day never comes. Always postponing, always thinking tomorrow I'll be happy. But if you really think about it, there's nothing wrong with now. This is where the life is going. This is where the life is. But we always postpone it for tomorrow. We always postpone it for a better place and better time. And we skip the life. We avoid living in the present moment. We always think, we always remember, we always worry about certain things. So that's how our mind works. There's nothing wrong with the present moment unless you start thinking. And when you think, it's natural that various doubts, various trust issues, these things arise. Now, when you have doubts, when you have trust issues, in a way, you are not trusting the other people. In a way, you are not trusting the things in your life. But when you have trust issues, you are still trusting somebody, or still trusting some things. What are the things you are trusting? You think your thoughts and emotions are real. You think this wandering mind, this doubting mind is real. So in a way, when you have trust issues, you are trusting your own emotions. You are trusting your own thoughts. Based on that trust, you get trust issues about the surrounding people, surrounding things. You always doubt. You have this insecurity about various things, various people. So in a way, when these things happen, you are surely trusting your thoughts. You are surely taking your emotions seriously. You take these thoughts, emotions as real. You take these thoughts, emotions as true. But when it comes to mindfulness, we are not taking these thoughts, emotions as real. We are not taking these thoughts, emotions as true. Instead, we try to observe them. We try to let them come and go naturally and try to be aware, try to notice what is happening. That's what we are doing. So far, maybe you have been trusting your thoughts, emotions. Due to those thoughts, emotions, various doubts, various trust issues were created. Various relationships were difficult. Because you trusted those thoughts, because you trusted those emotions. But when it comes to the practice, we are no longer encouraging that behavior. We are no longer trusting our own thoughts. We are no longer trusting our own emotions. Instead, we keep observing them. We allow them to come and go while we being aware of the present moment. It says these thoughts and emotions are like clouds in the sky, always changing, always moving. Certain days you feel that sky is beautiful, colorful, very nice to look at. In certain days it's gloomy, it's dark, it's not very pleasant. So these clouds are changing, always changing. So we are not trusting these things. We are not trusting these clouds. Instead, we try to observe them. We try to allow them to pass while being aware that we are in the present moment, while being aware that we are walking, while being aware that we are sitting. That way, we try not to trust our own emotions, not to trust our own thoughts. Because if you start trusting them, then you create various difficulties. You create various problems with your relationships. You create even problems with the practice. Now, even when it comes to the practice, various doubts, questions arise because you trust your emotions, because you trust your thoughts. That's what we tried to discuss last week. Can you trust that you have mindfulness? Can you be aware at least for a single step? Can you be aware at least for a single breath? And can you have confidence in it? Sometimes it's really difficult. Always the newcomers, they come and complain. They say, my mind is not calm. I couldn't focus. Various thoughts, memories, emotions came. So that way, you always complain. You always worry. You don't have confidence in your practice. What is the reason? Because you are trusting these emotions to be real. You are trusting these thoughts to be real. In a way, it's ironic that when you trust your thoughts, emotions, when you trust your thoughts, emotions, you get doubts, you get questions, you get worries. But if you are not trusting these thoughts, if you are not trusting these emotions, then there's nothing wrong with the present moment. It is always changing. It is always perfect. We don't need anything better because we are not encouraging our thoughts. We are not encouraging our emotions. We are not taking them so seriously. We are not taking them as real. Instead, we try to be aware of the present moment while allowing these thoughts, emotions to pass like clouds. And when it happens, you get to find more and more details about your own mind. When you practice this way for a long period, you can find more and more details. You get more and more insight into your own mind. Now I refer to the clouds in a sky. I refer to these clouds as thoughts and emotions. The clouds in the sky, it's similar to the thoughts and emotions in your mind. Now, when you practice mindfulness, you get to realize that mind is a one thing and the things born in the mind, they are something else. For example, if you say the thoughts, if you say the emotions, they are things born in one's mind. That's not the mind. That's just the things born in mind. But usually we identify with these thoughts, emotions. We identify these thoughts to be mine. We identify these thoughts to be me. We identify these emotions to be mine. We identify these emotions to be me. When that happens, you identify yourself as the things born in your mind. Usually, the mind is the master. Things born in the mind, they are slaves. But what happens is that when you identify yourself, when you identify yourself as your thoughts, when you identify yourself as your emotions, they become the master. And the true master, the mind, it becomes the slaves. So this is happening again and again. Usually we don't give our attention to the sky. We don't notice the sky. Usually we identify with the clouds. When the clouds are moving, we say various things. When the clouds change color, we identify as various things. That is how it is usually happening. In our mind also, we identify ourselves as the things born in our mind. So the thoughts, the emotions, various ideas, future planning, these things are born in our mind. They are not our mind. Instead, they are just things born inside it. It's like the clouds in the sky, always changing, always evolving, always going here and there. So if you think these clouds represent the sky, then you have a problem. That's what we think. Usually we think, I am worried. I am doubting. These people are blaming me. These people are doing things I don't like. That's how your thinking pattern is. That's how you usually think. This is identifying yourself as the things born in your mind. This is identifying yourself as clouds. But the true nature of the mind is like the sky. You see, it is unlimited. You can't really identify it. There's no limit. So that's the true nature of one's mind. But what happens is that we identify, we limit to the things that are born inside our mind. So the things that are born, they are the doubts. Things that are born, they are the questions. Things that are born, they are the worries, fears. Various things are born. So this process is happening again and again. But the practitioner, they try to be aware. They try not to get caught in these thought processes. They try not to identify themselves as the thoughts and emotions. Instead, they allow these things to come and go while being aware. They allow these thoughts, emotions to pass while being aware. That open-minded attitude, that mindful practice will allow you to see through these clouds and it will allow you to start seeing the sky that is unlimited. Little by little, the practitioner, they transcend these thoughts, emotions. The practitioner, they go beyond these thoughts, emotions. When you go beyond these thoughts, emotions, little by little, you tend to identify the real nature of the mind, the true master. You tend to identify the real nature of the sky, which is unlimited. So that's how we should be practicing in our life. That's how we should be encouraging the mindful practice. Again and again, you try to see through these thoughts, emotions. Again and again, you try to see the sky through these clouds. You try not to identify yourself as these thoughts. You try not to identify yourself as these emotions. Now you start to realize the difference between the mind versus the things born in your mind. If you don't know the practice, you usually identify yourself with the things that are born in one's mind. You can't really change them. You can't really get rid of these things. Due to various causes, various things are born in your mind. Those things you can't really change. It is very difficult if you try to change those things. It is very difficult. You just try to identify that these things are there. You just try to notice that these things are there. I'm just allowing these things to come and go as they wish, while not getting caught in them. That's the only true practice that you can develop. Otherwise, you are always trying to suppress yourself. You are always trying to suppress your thoughts, emotions, trying to get rid of various things, trying to go after various things. That's how we usually do. But the practitioner, they are not encouraging this behavior. Instead, they allow these things to come and go while not getting caught in them. They know that these things are just the things born in one's mind. You can't really change them. Allow them to be. Allow them to be, but don't identify yourself as these thoughts. Don't identify yourself as these emotions. They are what they are. You don't have to change them. Instead, you just disclaim the ownership to these things. That's what we are doing. Again and again, we train ourselves to disclaim the ownership to these thoughts, to disclaim the ownership to these emotions. They are not real you. They are not the real mind. So that's how we are practicing. Because if you keep trusting those emotions, if you keep trusting those thoughts, then you create trouble. You create various problems with your relationships. Let's say there's somebody, a family member, a partner, and when they do something that you don't like, what happens? There is usually friction. And you start doubting, you start questioning, maybe they are having an affair, you think. That's how our thought processes are created. That's how our thoughts and emotions, they evolve. So in a way, you want them to behave according to your wishes. In a way, you want your partner, you want your family to behave according to your wishes. But you have to ask, is that the true love? Because if you are truly loving somebody, then you have to love them for the people who they are, not for the people who you want them to be. So allow them to be them, and still, if you can love them, still, if you can appreciate them, then that's the real love that we are talking about. Otherwise, you are always creating friction. You are always worrying. You want them to behave according to your wishes. Expectations are there. When those expectations are not met, then you create trust issues. You create doubts. You create worrying. You create various other difficulties, problems. So this is how it is. Again and again, you take these thoughts, emotions as real. Again and again, you identify yourself as these thoughts and emotions. So that's the issue. That's the trouble that you are creating again and again. But you have to know that I am not trusting my thoughts. I am not trusting my emotions. So they say, doubt the doubt. Question the question. That's what they are saying. Because this is another thought. This is another emotion. So you should question that thought. You should question that emotion. Again and again, you keep that open-minded attitude. Again and again, you allow these things to come and go while not identifying them as yourself. If you want to know the real you, somebody might ask, if I am not my questions, if I am not my thoughts, if I am not my emotions, then who am I? That's a very good question. You should keep asking that question. Who am I? If I am not those questions, if I am not those doubts, if I am not those thoughts, emotions, who am I? So in a way, when we practice mindfulness, that's the question that we are asking. The answer we try to find by observing. Again and again, you keep observing. Again and again, you keep noticing. Throughout the day, you try to be aware. At a certain time, I get these thoughts, emotions. After a while, I get totally different thoughts, emotions. So who am I? You keep asking. One moment you are happy, next moment you are sad. Who am I? You keep asking. That very observation, we are trying to find, who am I? Am I these thoughts, emotions? Am I these memories? Am I this thinking? Or am I this commentary that's in my mind? Again and again, you keep an open mind and you keep observing. That very observation, in a way, we try to find, who am I? Now, if you want to know the real you, if you want to know the true you, of course, you can know it through the practice. But let me suggest something. If you want to know the real you, if you want to know the true you, then jump between two thoughts. There's a gap between two thoughts. If you jump there, then that's the real you. There is silence between two sounds. If you jump there, then that's the real you. There's a gap between two sensations. Let's say there's a gap between the in-breath and the out-breath. If you jump there, then that is the real you. Some people, they call it the sound of silence. Some people, they call it the gap between thoughts. So if you can jump there, then that's the real you. But what happens is that our mind, it doesn't go there. Our attention, it doesn't go there. Usually we identify ourselves with the clouds in the sky. We identify ourselves as the things that are there. But if you see through those clouds, then there's a vast sky. If you see through those thoughts, emotions, then there is a huge vacuum. Gradually, although you can't intentionally go there, gradually the practitioner, their attention naturally goes to the gap between two in-breaths. Naturally it evolves. Naturally their attention goes to the gap between in-breath versus out-breath. Again, in-breath comes. So in between these things, there is a gap. Naturally, your attention goes there. When the practice evolves, naturally, you become aware of these gaps more and more. You become aware of the silence between two sounds. You become aware of the gap between two thoughts. That awareness is naturally evolving. If you try to force your attention there, it won't stay. It will jump back quickly. But when you keep practicing, initially if you try to observe the breath, naturally you start to notice the gap between two breaths. Initially you try to observe the sounds, naturally you start to notice the gaps between sounds. That is the mind evolving. That is the practice evolving. You start to notice the things that are there. You know that the breath is there. Mindfulness of breath, we say. You know that the sensations at your feet, they are there. Mindfulness of the steps, we say. But naturally, when you practice for a while, gradually your practice will evolve. Naturally, you will start to talk that there is a gap in between the breath. Initially, I was mindful that the breath was there. Now I am mindful the breath is not there. Breath disappears and I am still mindful that the breath is not there. So that's how the practice evolves. That's how your true nature, real you, will arise little by little. Through the practice, the real you is arising. Gradually, it is arising. Gradually, you start to see through these clouds and identify the real sky, Gradually, you start to see through these thoughts, emotions, and identify the real mind. So you can see the practice is evolving, the practice is maturing, and little by little, you go deeper and deeper into the mind. You get more and more insight into the mind. And when you get that insight, there is no need to trust those thoughts, emotions. You question the question. You doubt the doubt. So with practice, you can really experience it. Gradually, you give less priority to your thoughts. Gradually, you give less priority to your planning. Gradually, you give less priority to the emotions. Instead, your attention, it naturally goes beyond these thoughts, emotions. Instead, your attention, it naturally goes beyond this planning. And that's the true nature of the mind. That's the real you. And when you identify the real you, when you get to know the real you, there is no doubt. There is no question. You don't even worry about the practice anymore. You don't worry about your family members. You don't worry about the various issues that are there. Instead, you keep on practicing, accepting the present moment. The present moment is perfect unless you start thinking. The present moment is perfect unless you start doubting. So that perfect present moment, you try to embrace little by little with the practice. When you mature in your practice, you realize naturally your mind is accepting this present moment. Naturally, your mind is embracing this perfect present moment. So practice and see this for yourself. Thank you for listening, and that's the idea I want to give today.
Thank you very much, and much praise to Bhante. And I'm sure you all have gained many an insight on this talk. Now, next up, we will have the question and answer session. And I would like to invite Sonali to commence with the reports received for today and conduct the total session on question and answers.
Avasarai Bhante, thank you, Namantha. Before I start with the reports, I will share the videos that have been done by Nisarana Vanaya about mindful walking and mindful sitting. As the slide is now showing you the two links, we will also have these details in the chat section. These are two videos formulated by Nisarana Vanaya to help us or give us a reminder if you have forgotten about walking and sitting practice. Once you have looked at these two, allow some time during the day to practice. Start with any amount of time, and then the guidance is to increase it to about an hour. Once you have practiced within the week, write your reports, send it to us via the Google form or the email beginnersnv@gmail.com. When you do write it, we will show you the format that it should follow. We would like it in mindful sitting, mindful walking, and the daily mindfulness headings, if possible. We have some reports today that you can see how they look. And once you send it to us, we will present it to Bhante for his guidance. We will then move on to today's reports. We have two reports received today. I will start with the first one. Mindful sitting. Sat on a cushion and closed eyes gently. Tiredness and sleepiness felt at the beginning. After the body scan and adjusting feet again, thoughts emerged. Noted these are thoughts. Then the breath appeared, noted in-breath and out-breath, and was able to watch the breathing of the body for a short while. Then nearly fell asleep. The thought clearly emerged about needing to generate more energy to counter tiredness and sleepiness. That thought itself helped moving away from sluggishness. Notice breath at times with movement of stomach and movement of chest and sensations of airflow near nostrils. Thoughts came and fell away. Pressure in different places of the body recognized, and those too passed away. Urge to end the session arose strongly in the mind. A quick check noted there was energy to continue with sitting. So continued with the session, sat for 45 minutes. Calmer energy continued for some time after ending the session. Mindfulness during the day. One of the most significant skills that is emerging in the ability to carry on doing what needs to be done during the building work is also happening. Because of this chaotic situation, the mind is assessing different options for quickly changing chaotic situation at home. Option for checking with friends, family, meant I had a choice of place in the neighborhood to have the work meetings from. Another thing noticed in the less available space for the family until the building work at one side of home is completed. After contemplating on potential conflict points, choose to move away if others needed the space I was in, etc. This has really helped with the community feeling and that we are in this together feeling. Usual trigger points of annoyance arose from time to time in the mind, but there was enough mindfulness to notice the feeling and not take the bait and to react. Final significant thing noted was the difference between plans and reality. For example, a preconceived idea of no office work will be done during the work at home hasn't come true. Things I thought would go well, on the other hand, hadn't gone that way. Instead of feeling surprised by first situation or annoyed by second situation, it was easy to laugh at the set ways of mind and its long-term habits. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to the organizers. That's the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, so in your report, you mentioned something that the calmer mind continues after the sitting session, probably for a few hours. It continues. You can feel that your mind is calmer due to the sitting practice that you have done. And if you do, let's say, 45 minutes of walking, it'll last longer. Usually the calmer feeling that arise in the walking, usually it lasts longer. Right? So in a way, you have to find a proper balance in your practice. You have to find how many minutes can I spend for a sitting session and how many minutes can I spend for a walking session. Still, you try to manage your day-to-day things, but this calmer mind, it should continue. When the mind is not calm, it's like a bell signing you that it's time to take a break. Probably it's time to do a sitting or a walking session. 10 to 15 minutes of walking or sitting will still do. Right, so in a way, we try to identify the situation in our mind, the status of our mind, and we try to balance it properly. We know when to take a break. We know when you can spend more energy, when you can do many things. Again and again, notice, at least if your mind is not calm, if your mind is agitated, know that your mind is agitated. Know that your mind is not calm. Know that you are angry. Know that you are worried. At least have that knowing. Let's say you can't get rid of the worry. You can't get rid of the anger. Still be aware that you are angry. Still be aware that you are worried. That awareness is a superpower. Knowing that you are angry while being angry. Thinking that you are thinking while thinking. That's a superpower. What happens is that you get to know afterwards. Next day you know that yesterday I was angry. Next day you know that I was thinking like this yesterday. That's too late. Because sometimes you make trouble with due to these things. You create mistakes that you can't correct. No much of worrying, no much of thinking will save you because you have already done it. So knowing that you are angry while being angry, knowing that you are sad or worried while being worried, knowing that you are thinking while thinking, that's a superpower. You at least know that you are in this state. You at least know that my mind is not calm. You at least know that I am angry. Then you can simply try to navigate that situation with the help of that knowing. So in a way, we try to create a proper balance. It's not a short-term goal. Instead, it's a lifelong practice. It's a lifelong quest that you are trying to create a proper balance. You can try various things. You can experiment with it. So that's why this is called the noble experiment. Little by little, you try to practice. Little by little, you try to evolve in your practice. Gradually, you try to develop the proper balance. Gradually, you try to improve the proper balance. So that way, you are evolving. That's say, you are developing. So in your report, we can see a lot of information about the balance that we are talking. In your report, we can see a lot of information how you can experiment with this balance. So keep on practicing and let us know again.
Thank you, Bhante. I'll move on to the next report. Walking meditation. Watch sensations on feet, walked on tiled floor. Pace was fast. Mind noting lifting, placing, initially noting end of each movement. And then the start and end of each foot being placed and lifted. Hard floor, areas of foot that was cold, uneven surface, sharp object on floor causing pain in one foot, pain passing observed, cold sensation passing through the whole body. Walked for 30 minutes. Sitting meditation. Watch breath, noting in and out breath beginning and ending. The breaths were short and equal in length. A tickling sensation as small droplet of fluid flowed out of one nostril, noted as unpleasant sensation. Knowing it would pass, which it did. Mind going back to breath. Irritation noted to rise and passing to hearing voices. Someone wanting to say bye, but suggesting she's asleep. Thought arose, she knows I am not sleeping, sitting on a cushion. Knows I am meditating. Irritation passed as soon as mind noted it. Amusement arose soon after. Mind went back to breath. After a short time, no thoughts noted, peaceful mind. Meditated for 40 minutes. Mindfulness in the day. Noted difference in mind on ordinary day at home. Compared to mind when doing an online retreat. No desire to eat after 12 noon, even when hunger arose on retreat days, as opposed to noting the greed arising to eat even when not hungry on other days. The retreat did not suggest 8 precepts, but as they were taken voluntarily, mind very happy to be following them. Pleased to have phone switched off for 4 days, noble silence, gratitude to husband for preparing food, not speaking, and other family members. Eating, walking mindfully, then remembering, noting, change of posture. Not sitting on high chairs, except for once forgot and sat briefly on a usual chair in the kitchen, but realized immediately and went to the cushion. Could have happily carried on with the retreat for longer, noting that too was a thought and it would pass. With much gratitude to Banthi and organizers. End of report.
Okay, so when you, in your report, you mentioned about something about hunger, right? So usually when it comes to the food, we usually think that if we missed a meal, then we might not survive. That's the usual idea we get. If we miss our lunch, then within few hours, you might die. That's how you feel, right? But your body, it has the ability to survive for much longer. Without even touching fat, it can survive probably around 2 days. No meals at all. 2 days it can survive without even touching fat, right? So that body, it has the ability. Right, it's our mind that create all this trouble. That's why in your report you mentioned that this too is a thought, right? So we don't even know what real hunger is. That's the issue. When you feel hungry next time, try to observe what are the real signs of hunger. Is it the trembling sound in your stomach? Or is it the dizziness that you get? Right? So in a way, when you are mindful, you can really notice these signs. Before having a meal, before taking something in, notice whether you are really hungry. Because some people with the lifestyles that we are living, you may take like 10 meals per day. 3 main meals, then snacks. Various, so many occasions. Do you need that much of food? You don't need, right? And most of the food that are available, they are toxic. So no wonder you get a cancer or something after 20, 30 years. So food is needed. You need to take food to survive. But you don't need this much. That's why I am suggesting. Easily you can survive with a good meal, single meal per day. But when you are in a busy lifestyle, when you are working, when you need so much energy, probably you may not agree. But at least wait till your body is requesting food. Because dizziness could be some other sign. Right, so we have to know what real hunger is like. We have to identify what real hunger is like. Is it our mind that is asking the food? Is it the body that is asking the food? Usually what happens is that you see the time, your mind starts asking. It's your mind. And when you are sick, let's say, what happens? The body refuses the food. Body is refusing the food. But the mind is saying, somehow eat something. Otherwise, you may not make it through. And your family and friends come with various types of food. They somehow want to feed you. So that's what happens. But even the animals, they know what to do. When they are sick, they lie somewhere without eating, refusing to eat. You can learn even from the cats or the dogs at your home. When they are sick, they don't eat. They refuse. They simply stay. They simply relax. They simply sleep till they become better. So why the body is refusing food when you are sick? It is saying this is not the time for the food. Instead, the body is healing itself. When the energy is spent on healing, you can't spend energy on the digestion. But when you eat, what happens? Anyway, now you have to digest. So it is troubling the real healing process. It is disturbing the real healing process. And in your bodies, probably you have like accumulated toxins for like 30, 40 years. And they are in your fat. So eat and eat, you are not even touching the fat. Usually the toxins, they are in your fat. And usually we are not touching it. So if you at least try a retreat, one meal per day, or only breakfast and lunch per day. If you try it, then there's a chance for your body to heal. That's more or less like 18 hours of a fast. You're fasting throughout the day. You only get liquids, tea or something like that. Then your body has time to heal itself. Your body can spend energy other than digesting food. Your body can get rid of the toxins that are there. So this is very important. That's why nowadays they call this intermittent fasting. They say you can have a single meal per day, whatever you need, whatever the quantity you need, you can have. But just a single meal per day. So they too start to talk about the importance of these things. One time a person came and he was telling, Bante, nowadays they call something the intermittent fasting. They say single meal per day, you can eat whatever you like. Then I got to thinking, Bante, I realized this is the practice that we are already doing. When we are in a retreat, this is the practice the monks are already doing. When they accept no meals after 12 noon. When you live with the required food, the required amount, then your body can heal. It can spend energy, it can spend time on the things that are necessary. Otherwise, always eating, always digesting, that's the only thing the body can do. So listen to your body. I am not suggesting to, you know, torture yourself. Just listen to your body. Drink when it is asking for you. Eat when it is asking. Listen to that body and do accordingly. That is what's important. Otherwise, always you are eating something without even attention, without even being aware, you are eating. When you are sick, you feel like your life is at risk. So you start keep eating things. Even you can learn from a sick dog. When they are sick, they just lie there, refuse to eat. They wait till they are better. Why is that? That's because your body needs to spend energy on the healing process. If you start eating, then that process is distracted, that process is disturbed. So this is how we can really become healthy through the awareness that we are practicing. Again and again, see whether the mind is asking for food, whether the body is asking for food. If the body is asking, if it is the true hunger, then of course eat. No need to torture yourself. While eating, make sure that you eat something healthy. make sure that it's something that you need, that that is useful. Nowadays, the food, most of them are garbage. So that way, we try to pay attention to our body. We try to listen to our body. And if it is necessary, of course, you can eat. If it is necessary, of course, you can drink. But you don't need to eat throughout the day. You don't need to force food down your throat when you are sick. This knowledge, it's with even the animals, they know it. When they are injured, what do they do? They just relax, they just sleep, they just lie somewhere till they get better. Even the monkeys, we can learn. When we are in Nisarnavane, we can see so many monkeys. They are always injured, fighting. They have various gangs, they fight. When they are injured, when you see it, it feels like this monkey won't survive. Huge injuries. Sometimes you can even see through the wound. But within few weeks, you see the same monkey properly healed. No medicine, no taking care of. They just allow the body to heal themselves. So that ability is with us. We have that ability, but it is our thinking mind that is going against that ability. As soon as you get a headache, you run for a doctor. As soon as there is a pain or something, you need painkillers. If it is necessary, do get, but at least wait till that is shown in your body. Listen to your body and see what are the signs that it is saying. Then only you can have meals. Then only you can go for a doctor if it is really necessary. So listening to your body is very important. The body knows. It is our thinking mind that is disturbing that process. So you have to let go of the thinking mind and really pay attention to the body. So it's a valuable exercise, valuable assignment. What is the real hunger is like? These days I am also experimenting. What is the real hunger feels like in your body? Not in the mind, but in the body. Right? So when you survive single meal per day, then the mind is really active. It is suggesting that tonight you might die. No food, you might die. So that's how it works. There was this person some time back. He was here in the monastery. And few days later, he came with a confession. He told me last night, Bante, 1 a.m. in the morning, I got up. I felt like that my life was about to end due to the hunger. So like a possessed person, I went, I mixed all the milk powder, nestamol, everything together and made a pulp and eat. Confession, right? Last night, 1 a.m., I was possessed. So that's how the thinking mind is like. Your body can survive for a longer period. But the mind is always suggesting that you might die due to the hunger. You might die due to this illness. Again and again, it is distracting or disturbing the knowledge in your body. So the practitioner, they try to listen to their body. No need to torture yourself. It is needed. Get, of course. But first verify whether this is needed. First verify whether I have to go for a doctor. First verify whether I need to eat something. That verification is important. Not by the thinking mind, but verify through your body. Listen to your body. So it's a very valuable skill if you listen to your body, it is always having all the necessary knowledge, necessary information. Let go of the thinking mind and try to listen to the body more and more. When that happens, you realize even your busy lives, you don't need so many meals. I need like one or two meals, proper meals. Then I can survive. Rest of the time, I can survive with water, liquids. So that knowledge is important. That knowledge is already there in your body. So next time when the hunger comes, see the signs. Is this the real hunger? Is it the dizziness that I feel? Is it the trembling sound in the stomach? Or is it some other sensation? You really can listen, experiment with this practice. So that's the idea. Try to see, try to identify, try to listen to your body more and more.
Thank you, Bhante. I think that is very valuable feedback for all of us to be listening to our bodies. We have finished the reports for today. I think we have some time. We can allow questions today because we haven't had much time in the last couple of weeks. If anyone has questions, would you please raise your Zoom hand and I will allow you to unmute and ask your question. Panchani, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Asanai Bhante. Sonali, I sent a few lines on Google Form. You miss out my report? Not to worry if not, you can read it next week. Don't worry if not, you can read it next week.
I will read it now. Let me just quickly have a look. I'm sorry, it was my mistake. I have not checked the Google form because we get most of our reports coming on email. I have missed out. Yes, I have that here now. Mindfulness during the day. Following on from your advice at Nisaran during my stay, I have been practicing more walking than sitting during the past month. Walking home after a very busy day at school with a few footsteps, paid attention to the movement of the feet and could feel the energy. Could feel the mindful energy rising and the cool sensations in the head and the tingling sensations in the mouth area. There were some thoughts about upcoming inspections next week and the heavy workload to do at the weekend, but they faded quickly with each footstep in comparison to previous years. There is now not much power in these thoughts, and the suffering is far less in comparison. When the suffering comes, able to stay with the suffering and carry on with daily work. Feel lazy to write reports, Bhante, and aware of the ego in the mind, but don't want to be a totally silent participant either, and want to encourage others. Sometimes craves the company of good practicing friends that I can talk to. Sometimes feel like the faith is in me disappearing, but don't want to be complacent either. Sometimes feel very confident about the practice and talks endlessly about it and bore my family. Other times able to do deep listening and that too becomes the meditation. Sometimes there is friction with the untidiness around the house or when someone attacks the path. Mostly the friction is with the family members, but can stop most reactions by watching the body sensations or sensations in the mind. And with the lightness of the body after practice, it's easier to get on with life for sure. Thank you for guiding me, and I continued practicing with metta. Once again, I'm sorry about missing out the report. I will check Google Forms next week.
Okay, Panchani, thank you for sharing. Now, it's good that you report once in a while. Just to, say that you're practicing, just to mark your presence. That's important. Otherwise, we get dragged due to the other things in our lives. Usually, it is easier to forget about the practice when we have so many things in our lives. Right. So it is important that once in a while we remind ourselves to about the practice. We share our experience. That's how we can progress. Now, when we practice, you can feel that the thoughts are there, but much less power in them. Thoughts are there, but they create lesser levels of suffering in our mind. So that's the change that will happen, right? Initially, we thought that we could get rid of these thoughts. Initially, that we thought that everything will vanish and I'll stay peaceful forever. But now you realize everything is there, but they don't create so much trouble. They don't create so much suffering. That's the change that will happen. Otherwise, we want to get rid of the world. Usually the practitioners, they get this thought. They get this idea. They hold on to the practice. And they don't like the people who are not practicing. They hold on to the precepts. They don't like the people who are breaking them. But we live in this world. Everybody is there. They do their own thing. What to do? Things are happening out of our control. So we are not getting rid of the world. We are not in that fight. It's not a good fight to be in. You versus the universe or you versus the world. It's not an easy fight to be in. It's not a good fight to be in. You can't win that. Instead, you let the world be. You change your behavior. You change your mind. When the mind is evolved, when the mind is changed, then you realize the thoughts are there. Thoughts are there, but they don't create so much suffering in our mind. They don't have the power they used to have. That's the difference that will happen. And years, you have to keep on practicing. Again and again, you practice. Usually, if a person is too into the sitting practice, we say more and more walking, more and more day-to-day practices. If the person is not meditating at all, we say sitting time is important. When you are too much to the left side, we say to your right. When you are too much to the right side, we say to your left. So person, a bystander listening, at a moment this person is saying to the right, at a moment this person is saying to the left, he's contradicting himself. Of course, that's how it is. Depends on the person, you have to give the instructions accordingly. So you have to keep on practicing in your daily life. Do the sitting sessions, do when it is time for them. But most of the time, day-to-day practice is important. The walking practices are important. You can walk to the working place. Just keep knowing, paying attention, allow the thoughts to come and go. It's fine. Worrying about the future, worrying about the things that are coming in the future. It's fine. Again and again, keep on practicing. So that way, when you practice, what happens is that you realize the world is there, but there's less suffering in the mind. The thoughts are there. They don't have so much power. The troubles are there, but they are not creating so much suffering. That's how the change will happen. That is what will change. That's why in the discussion we mentioned, you see through the clouds to see the sky. These things are born in your mind. That's not the mind. You usually identify them as your mind, but that's not the mind. They are just born in your mind. Through nature of the mind, it is really difficult to know. It's like seeing the sky. Usually the clouds, they grab our attention. We don't give the attention to the sky. But the practitioner, they realize now the thoughts are less prominent. Now the emotions are less prominent. They are there. But they don't have so much power. They don't create so much suffering. Now you are giving them the proper place. That's their rightful place. The thoughts are there. The emotions are there. But they don't control our mind. They don't have so much power over our mind. So this is the change. This is the evolution. And I found this very nice analogy of Nibbana or the enlightenment. They say, imagine a dreamless deep sleep. Right? When you sleep, when it is dreamless, when you are in a deep sleep, there's nobody to witness. Right? So there's nobody to witness. But when you get up from that sleep, you feel much better. You know that last night I slept well. Maybe after so many days, I slept well. Even somebody was saying a few days ago, Bhante, after so many days, I slept well last night. So I feel the calm mind. I feel the comfort in my sleep. When you get up, you feel. You feel that you slept well. So it is something like that. You can't witness. There's nobody to witness. Deep, dreamless sleep. And imagine if you go into that sleep and if you never wake up, what will happen? All your problems will be resolved. No worries, no thoughts, no issues. Not waking up, not in the sense of dying, I mean. Right? This is an analogy to the enlightenment. This is an analogy to the Nibbana. So you feel it. You feel that the world is there, but it doesn't bother me anymore. You feel that there is not even a witness. There's nobody to witness. That's the true nature. You are one with the universe. That's the true nature in our mind. So little by little, we tend to identify it. Little by little, we tend to experience it. So continue practicing and thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. Rajika, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Sarai Bhante, thank you very much, Sonali, for the opportunity. I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment Bhante, I think, gave the answer for the second question about the fasting. I totally agree with you, Bhante. I tried to do some fasting a few years ago, and then I realized everything Bhante mentioned. Like, I used to get migraine headaches and shivering if I skip one meal. But once I started fasting, I realized it is hard initially, but once I used to survive into one meal within a day, and then I feel more comfort, more energetic, more healthier. And then I realized most of the food I used to eat, my body really doesn't need it. I just eat the sake of eating. So I just want to make that comment that I agree with Bhante. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you for sharing. As you mentioned, you can experiment with it. We can try. There may be people who are eating like 4 or 5 meals per day. So they might worry when you say one meal per day. So you can try. That's what I'm saying. Your body doesn't need so much food. And try to identify what real hunger is like. Most of the signs that we identify as hunger, it's not the real hunger. Usually the hunger is not unpleasant. It's not an unpleasant sensation. It's a pleasant sensation in your body. So you have to identify it properly. Otherwise, most of the other signs, you are misinterpreting them as the hunger. So when you have that behavior, when you make that change, you can really see how the body is healing itself. How you become healthy. somebody might ask, how can we become healthy by not eating? You think that if you eat, then you become healthy. But your body doesn't need so much food. That's the issue. Now think about the advertising. Think about the when you go near a restaurant. See the advertising. See how much they spend. They are not trying to catch your body. They are trying to catch your mind. All the nice packaging, it's for your mind, not for the body. You don't eat the packaging, no. It's for your mind. So we always get carried away with our mind and we create problems in our lives. Not short-term problems, but long-term problems. You eat and eat, one day you'll become sick. And you have various names for the illnesses that you get. Now there was this YouTube video or something. Little children, probably like 8-10 years old, three of them talking. Various things. The girls, the one girl is saying, my father is doing this huge job. He is a manager or something like that, she's saying. Then the other one is saying, my father, he has a car. It's a BMW. Then the third kid, she can't remember anything. So suddenly she jumps and she says, my father has diabetes. That's what her father got, right? So various names are there, the diseases created out of the food. So you can experiment. You don't have to come to a decision so soon. Instead, keep on experimenting. You can't really change your body by experimenting for a week because you are used to these food patterns for so long. So probably you might have to experiment for a few months and see. According to my experience, your body takes at least 6-8 months to adjust itself. So initially, so much resistance. You feel like that you are about to faint. You feel like that you are about to die because of the lack of food. Sweating, fainting, kind of a feeling arise. But after a while, after 30 minutes, the body will adjust itself. Again, you feel energetic. Again, you feel fresh. Now the body knows no food, so I have to adjust myself. So you have to go through those episodes if you are trying. With time, you can find a proper balance. So thank you for sharing. And I have one more question from Rajika.
Yes, Vante.
So this is the topic that you proposed. You are happy about the discussion? 2 weeks we had trust issues.
Yes, Vante, I'm happy. Thank you very much for the talk and all the sharing that. Yeah.
I know you proposed something for August as well. July, June. Namanta, can you remember? We have two topics for month of.
Yeah, it's in August, I think.
No, this month we have. Next month, do we have?
Yes, we do. You have proposed something, but you already forgot.
Yeah, that's the thing. So July, we will ask the audience to propose if they are willing some topics. We ask for your suggestions and we refuse them all and take something totally new.
As we always do, yes.
Yeah, as always.
And I just want to add one more thing about what your explanation. I don't know, I heard this, that 1/4 of the plate is just for us to survive. The other three to make us sick, I guess. And I heard that saying when you explain that when you answer my question, my comment, I it came into my mind. I just want to share with the rest. Actually, we don't need that much of food we usually eat. Thank you very much, Vante.
Yeah, various people are here. They might consume differently. So they have to experiment in their life and see what is the proper balance. Otherwise, they might come and, blame us for torturing them. Not eating, not easy. when you have no food, your body goes crazy and your mind is become even crazier. So you have to find a proper balance with time, of course.
One more thing. Yeah, as you said, like everything is finding our balance, just like our practice, I think, just with the eating pattern also, everyone's different, so we should find our own balance. So don't go according to what I said. I just experiment just for my interest, so I just want to share that. Thank you very much.
Otherwise, share your phone number. Tell that Rajika suggested having a meal per day. So whatever the complaints, if you are not happy with that suggestion, you can call Rajika.
It was you, Bhante, who speak about this. I just share my experience. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Bhante.
I can see Bandula's hand is up. Would you like to ask your question or comment, Bandula?
Hosanai, Bhante. It's a very quick question, Bhante. Today's talk is very, very good, Bhante. It's a lot of things about the thoughts and the mind. The question is about the mind, Bhante. In the practice, we know, Bhante, it's thoughts, everything varies, you know, it comes and goes. About the mind, you said it's very much similar to sky or the gap between in-breath and out-breath or vice versa. So, Bhante, is the mind, is it a permanent thing or would it be like a, or is it, it appears momentarily, so it comes, or it is a permanent entity? So, I know it is the right question to ask. But I'd like to get some advice, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah, all these questions, they arise from the things that are born in the mind, right? So the clouds we are talking about, right? Thinking, wandering, planning. So you can't really know. These are the clouds in the sky. So in our talk, we mentioned that in a deep, dreamless sleep, there's nobody to witness. Right? So that is the true nature of the mind. Think about a deep, dreamless sleep. Nobody to witness. As soon as there are clouds, we witness. If there's a dream, then we might remember it. And during that dream, you may feel, it may feel so real. Somebody is coming to kill you with a club. So it feels real in that dream. But if there is no dream, if you are in a deep, dreamless sleep, then there is nobody to witness. So that's the true nature of the mind. Right? So thinking, wondering, asking questions, all these things are trying to figure out through the clouds. You can't really see this. Nature of the sky through the clouds. That's the issue. These things, everything is born in our mind, not the real mind. In order to see the real mind, you have to see through these things. You have to see through these ideas. You have to see through these doubts. So that experiencing that thing, seen through these ideas, thoughts, doubts, it's done through the practice. So in your practice, your experience of life, it's evolving. That's what Panchani is saying. The thoughts, they had so much power earlier. The thoughts, they created so much suffering earlier. Now, they don't have so much power. Now they don't create so much suffering. So that's her experience. So that's how your experience of life will change with the practice. More you practice, more you realize the true nature of the mind. So your question, you have to answer it through the practice only.
Thank you, Bhante. I know it's an irrelevant question.
No, it is very much relevant. right? But the problem is answering, right? So you have to practice and see what is the answer for this question.
Yes, Bhante, the thing is a quick one. About the trust.
Time today, sorry, in 10 more minutes, I have to go somewhere else.
Sorry, Bhante, so we'll have a bit postponed.
Thank
you very much.
Yeah,
we're really sorry about that. We will have to end the session now because we've taken up a lot of Bhante's time. I will hand over to now, Bhante.
Okay, thank you so much, Sonali, and much merit, and so much thanks to Bhante. And thanks to Bhante and everyone participating in the session through the written reports, and also to Rajika for the verbal question, and to Bandhul Uncle for his question. So we have come to the end of the session, and quite a bit over time as well, but it's fine. Bhante will have to hurry away from the program. So I would like to thank and pass merits to Bhante for participating in today's session and providing us with many insights. And I wish these merits will go on to improve Bhante's own practice and further Bhante's own practice. Then I would also like to mention with much respect and gratitude Mohsenul Bhante Udari Rigamudhamma Jeeva Mahateru for insightfully requesting this program to be realized, and for his insight and guidance and continued blessings. So also I would like to mention and thank and also pass on merits to all the wonderful team of organizers who have initiated this program and are putting in their efforts to maintain the program. And I wish that their own mindfulness journeys will continue to flourish. And also the listenership, the persons who are logging into this meeting and also viewing this through the live stream are to be thanked for and past merits as well, because they provide the means of justification for us to invite Bhante to a program like that, like this. Otherwise, we will not have his presence on this program. So thank you to all of you, and I wish that your own practices will flourish into the future. Please keep logging into the program so that you can gain insights and get refreshed on mindfulness practice aspects and keep on improving yourself over time. So the program will be held again on Saturday same time, and you can log in with the same details at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. So with that, I would end the session and wish you all a mindful and happy week ahead until we meet you next week. Thank you.